We'll be presented by the five Hasselbacher brothers, and that would include Ed, Willard, Carl. I told you, Clifford, and Rob. And I don't know exactly what they're going to talk about, but we'll let them tell you.
It'll be the foggiest idea.
We thought you was going to ask us questions.
That's what we thought. We thought this was.
They want a question and answer, though.
Yeah.
Not prepared.
That teacher not prepared.
Not prepared, huh?
Well, she was tardy.
You're not prepared.
I'm prepared.
Yeah.
Well, we were born and raised in the country, as the saying goes, and things weren't too rosy at times, but we always got along real well together. And we have a few pictures that tells of what went on, and I had one here of myself in a suit that my mother had made for me out of her wedding dress, which was handed down to all five boys. And I have pictures of three of us here in it. But the other two must have ones hidden someplace, but they won't admit it. And then I took to driving when I was quite young. I had my granddad's glide car here when I was big enough I couldn't see over the steering wheel, so I've been driving for several years. Yeah. And then there's also a picture of me here with my mother in a vehicle older than that. It's a horse and buggy. And that's what we had to come to town in at that time. And that would probably have been in 1918 or 19. It looks like about 1918, I would guess. And so these other fellows, they can answer questions if you ask them. But Ed, he's next in line, and he might have some.
Well, I didn't know really what to talk about, but I woke up in the middle of the night with this thing here. And I don't know how many of you know what it is, but that thing has kept me alive for 8 years. And I'm very thankful to the Lord that he come up with something. Doc Oswald, who used to be here in Brimfield, had terrible bedside manners, but I'm told by several people he's still one of the most knowledgeable doctors there is in the Peoria area. And he is the one that determined that I needed something like this to survive, because I was not getting my sleep. I was losing 12 seconds of breathing out every minute. So I thought maybe some of you'd like to know what it is in the background for some people, but I certainly thank the Lord every morning when I get up that I've got another day. I've had several incidents in my life where, you know, it was iffy. And from the last 10 years I worked, I spent 14 trips to the hospital, and I never thought I'd make retirement. Now that I'm retired, I'm physically working harder than I did any of the 40 years that I worked with the company. And I, so far, can stand it. I had my blood pressure checked this morning, and Doc Sherman says it's best it's been in years. So I guess the harder I work, the better it turns out. Yeah. I would like to go back as far as what the five of us did as kids. I'm sure most of you are aware that our mother was not able to get around. And there was a rule in our family that if Mom said do something, it was do it now. Not 2 minutes from now, not 5 minutes from now, but now. And if Mother told Dad that we didn't do it,
wished we had.
We wished we had. But also, Mother wasn't the type to squeal. Mother never complained. I don't know how she could survive the way she did and not complain, but she just never complained about anything. Well,
Uncle Bud, he was sick. That was her brother. And he was complaining about this and complaining about that. And his wife, who is our only aunt that is living, and she's 96 years old now.
Right.
And she told Uncle Bud, she says, Uncle Bud, she said, Maudie never complains about anything. He says, well, by George, I can complain enough for both of us.
And he did.
Huh? And he did, yeah. Right. Clifford, what are you?
Okay, I guess they stick a mic in front of me. I think I'm doing a radio commercial. But I'm the third in line. I was born on the 4th of July, which I'm very proud of course. And I remember my earliest remembrances of going to school, walking to school, and our kids, they kind of exaggerate the stories that I tell, but we really did walk to school, Bramble School. And I remember when I was in the first grade, Willard and our cousin Orville and Everett, and when it was real cold, they used to form a square around, and I'd walk in the middle. I was in the first grade. And we walked to Bramble School, and my earliest remembrances of, one of the earliest remembrances of Brimfield is the old, I believe it was the Centennial 1936.
36, yeah.
1936, when Willard drove a pair of cows and drove them as horses. Yeah, they looked like oxen, but they were actually milk cows. And he drove them in a Centennial parade. And all the pictures we have of Father Harrison's movies, I don't recall ever seeing any movies of that parade.
There's not a one in there.
And never found anybody that had a picture of
that. That was what was rot a shame, because that was a great parade. I remember that.
Very, very great.
We all, all five of us graduated from Brimfield High School, of course. We're not saying which part of the class we graduated in, but we got there and we made it. So I'll let Carl talk.
You said enough for everybody.
Well, tell them about.
I don't remember half the stuff these guys are telling.
I do have a picture of that team of cows he's talking about in my book.
Yeah, well, I had one in the other one, but I didn't bring it along.
Carl, and tell them about what we did.
What we did. We brought them back alive is what we did.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I think
yeah.
that was in 1934, and everybody says the Centennial was in 36.
It was 36.
I got a Brimfield News says right there, 1934. Mom's writing, so I trust that.
Yeah, well, tell them what bring them back alive was.
Well, everybody knows Frank Buck. Yeah. I mean, it was Frank Buck, and Rowan was Cato or somebody. I don't know. And
he was the coolie.
You were the coolie.
You were the coolie. I was driving. I was Frank Buck.
What was the cat's name?
Either
Red Foley.
That wasn't Red Foley.
Red Foley. Skyland Scotty or Red Foley.
Red Foley was the cat.
I can't recall now.
Yeah, it was Red Foley.
But it was a cart that Dad had made from scratch.
Yeah, out of
he used bushel basket tops for the wheels, the lid.
Yeah.
And he had bamboo chaz for the
horse. The cage didn't look too often.
The cage was an old chicken wire. But the cat looked real.
Yeah. And we did win first place.
We got first place in the parade.
What happened to the trophy?
$2, I think.
No trophy.
Haven't made pictures of that either, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Somebody has. Yeah, there's pictures of that.
Carl's got pictures.
Carl's got those probably.
Yeah, right. But somebody actually came up to the cage and says, "Oh, it's just a cat." He says, "It's good as not. It's a tiger."
Baby tiger. Look just like me. Anyway, I guess it's my turn.
Your turn.
And I was hoping to be last because I was like, oh, can you hear? Okay, Frank. Anyway, one of my very earliest recollections of being alive at all was the, and I had to be 5 years old, it was the 19th, I think it was 33, wasn't it, the World's Fair in Chicago?
Yeah. Yes.
And Mom and Dad went, I think it was the first time they ever left me alone with these guys. Anyway, they brought me back a little toy that I treasured for years and years. It was like a semi-trailer today, but it was a bus, and it was pulled by a little tractor.
It'd be worth a fortune.
And it'd be worth a fortune if I had it. It was all cast iron. But aside from that, probably one of the other most memorable things of the early 30s was Old Settlers and the Thrashing Run. I always look forward to both of them. Number one, the thrashing, you had more you could possibly eat, you know, because all the wives would always try to outdo each other, and they'd all get together at each farmer's house, like the thrashing crew, you know, and they'd do all the thrashing. And then I always looked forward to Old Settlers as a kid. Once a year, we got to go to town, I guess,
yeah.
You know. And A couple of very memorable old settlers I recall. I'm not sure of the year, but I think it was about 36 when they had a balloon ascension. Remember that one?
I remember.
A hot air balloon went up.
Scott Brimble.
Over the Lone Tree.
Yeah, well, it went up, and the thing I remember about it is the guy that was in charge, when the girl, it was a girl in a parachute, and she went up in this hot air balloon, and he hollered at her like this, and he said, "Cut loose, Mildred," and somebody said, "Why, she can't hear you," and he said, "The heck she can't," and pretty soon, just like that, she dropped. She landed up by Pete Christian's farm, and I remember that to this day. Another special occasion on Old Settlers, I recall. I don't know why I was picked, unless it just happened to be the youngest of the descendants of Grandma and Grandpa Hasselbacher, who incidentally, it just was synonymous with Old Settler because they won the longest married couple every year, as long as I can remember back. Mm-hmm. But I was chosen to give the invocation, which was written by Reverend Hargraves. I don't know how many of you remember him.
Oh, yeah.
T.C. Hargraves. And on another occasion, I recited the Gettysburg Address. So Old Settlers had a very special meaning for me, and it's coming up again. But some of the other things I recall from my childhood was, of course, everybody, we all had chores to do. And when these two guys got old enough to move out on their own, well, they still lived at home, but I remember slopping my brother's hogs for a dime a week, and I thought I was rich. Because before then, the most I ever got was a nickel on Saturday night for an ice cream. And that was our so-called allowance. If we got that, we were lucky. It had to be good to get that. And I used to wash Edwin's car, and I thought it really was making money at 50 cents a time, you know. But
pay much on strawberry picking.
He didn't. Oh. But then time wore on, and lo and behold, what you know, these guys all went away on a 4-year vacation. I think it was called World War II.
It was the big one.
And Dad and I, we run the farm by ourselves, just the two of us. And we did it all with horses because we never owned a tractor when I was growing up. And, of course, in those days, you know, there was rationing of everything. They rationed gas. And, of course, Dad had 3 gallons of gas for his Model A Ford, which he could get back and forth to town. But we didn't have to worry about it because like I said, we had horses, and they produced their own gas. If you ever plowed with a one-row cultivator behind a team of horses, you know you're not too far away from the business end. And it got kind of ripe sometimes. But anyway, as somebody said, we all graduated from Brimfield High School. I, myself, was the last one, the youngest. And incidentally, I used to resent being called the baby of the family. Now I love it, every minute of it. But I graduated in 46, and I actually started working at Caterpillar while I was still in high school in 1945, and I worked there off and on until 1988. Only lapse of employment was 2 years in the military in 1950 through 52, and then I was a bad boy and I left for a couple of years in 1970. But other than that, I worked, that's about the only place I ever worked was Caterpillar. I don't have any other claim to fame other than marrying my wife, Dee, here in 1959. We have 3 children, as you probably know. Jill and Joy are in the Boston area. David's out in San Francisco area, so they're about as far apart as they can get. And other than that, I very minor contributions to the community. For a while, I was chairman of the Board of Trustees of Union Church at Brimfield, and for a temporary chairman for the Church Council for a very brief time. I was president of the Library Board when the new building or the new building site was acquired, but I take no credit for that. Actually, Ray Eckhoff gets the credit because he did all the negotiations with the Dungan family to donate that property. But I did have the privilege of serving as president when the decision was made to build a new building. I served on town council in 1972, and I was the first president of the Brimfield Athletic Boosters Club in 1976 when it was organized, which we were very proud of our team at that time. You know, they went to the state tournament the only time they ever did. We currently live in Bettendorf, Iowa, and Dee is still working. I'm retired, but we have no plans for permanent retirement as yet. I just like to say in closing that over the years we've made a lot of friends. And I'd like to close with this poem that my mother taught me, and I'm sure the rest of them know it too, and it's entitled Friendship.
and it goes like this. Make new friends, but keep the old. Those are silver, these are gold. New made friendships like new wine, age will mellow and refine. Friendships that have stood the test of time and change are surely best. Brow may wrinkle, hair grow gray. Friendship never knows decay. Thank you. Well, you can't take everything in there.
Rollin mentioned plowing with a one-row cultivator and horses. And last year, I made the remark that I had plowed with a one-row cultivator, a two-row cultivator, and a four-row cultivator, and I'd sure like to plow with one of them big cultivators, 12. And I said to Frank Kingdon, or I said it to Norma Cales, who I said it to, and the word got to Frank Kingdon. And he came out to my place, and he said, Willard, if you want to plow that row of corn today, he said, today's the day to do it because that's going to be done. And I said, where'll you be? And he says, out west of Brimfield here. Well, out west of Brimfield is the farm I worked on when I got out of high school. And I went out there, and it's the first field I ever drove a tractor in to farm in. I worked for Blaine Miller out here where the Festic, this is the Festic Club. So I plowed one round. So I plowed with a 12-row cultivator.
How much corn did you leave?
Oh, yeah, all there. He picked it good, yeah.
These Caterpillar workers, I always had a kind of a itch towards Caterpillar because when I graduated from high school, I wanted to go to college and there wasn't no money and no way of getting money to go. So Charlie Carson and I went into Caterpillar and took the apprentice exam. Well, we both passed the exam. Charlie got on and I didn't. I was past 18, and if you was past 18, they wouldn't accept you. And I was always just a little down about that, but as I look back on it, I think the Lord did me a favor because I certainly enjoyed, you know, what I did and how I did it and so forth. And several things like that in my life have happened that when it happened, I thought it was just kind of bad, but when you look back and the changes that developed from it, why, sometimes you're better off.
Clifford was telling about the bad weather he went to school in and he got to walk in the circle. It's almost as bad as the time Edwin and I was going to school. And got up in the morning, and it was a big ice storm that night before. And roads this slicker and all get out. Dad says, you guys are going to have to walk to school today. He says, it's too slick for the team and I haven't got any change for the truck. So we started out and we got down the road, you know, and we was late getting to school and Miss Rent says, how come you boys are so late getting to school? I said, well, every time we took a step forward, we slid two back. She says, don't give me that kind of line. How'd you get here? We turned around and went the other way.
Roy, wasn't there something about a story you told us about a cistern and a cat or something?
Oh, I don't know, but she just reminded me.
Oh, that's wrong. Tell that one.
No, I don't know that one, but I remind me of getting back to what I was talking about earlier when we did everything with horses and everything by hand. And this is part of this is true now. Part of this story is honest to God truth. The rest of it is a little stretched a little bit. But Dad would pick corn by hand. He'd pick two rows R1, and he'd help us out half the time. And he used to tell this story on himself about it. He said, well, I used to be pretty good at picking corn. He said, one day I was out picking. He said, I'd never let an ear of corn lay on the ground. He said, I always pick it up as I went. He said, one day I reached down and picked up what I thought was an ear of corn. He said, it turned out to be my foot. He said, I threw myself in the wagon, and the last 3 years hit me in the side of the head. But that was the kind of tall stories that he would tell.
Well, that's the same as getting hit on the line drive and going around Sunday. Yeah, right.
I could tell a story on Willard that was absolutely true.
Okay.
Only one time in my life I ever went hunting. Willard just said, let's go hunting today. And he said, I won't get that rabbit. Now, you watch it. There's a rabbit sitting up alongside the fence, and he took up the gun, and he blasted that rabbit to about 400 pieces. Got up there, the rabbit was froze stiff. That's true.
Another one of Dad's favorite stories, or one of my favorite stories that he used to tell was when he said he used to be pretty good at shingling roofs. He said one day he was shingling a roof, and it was foggy, and he said that he was going along pretty good, and he said pretty soon the fog lifted, and he said he found himself, he'd going along so fast, he was 4 feet out over the edge of the roof. But I think the best one is the one when he said he used to be pretty good at cutting wood, chopping wood. He'd always take two axes with him, because while one was, he was using one, he'd put the other in the creek to cool it off, because it got so hot. And he said, along about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, though, he'd have to quit. He said, because by that time, the creek had been boiled dry, and it just started to fall.
Well, that's just like the time. We used to have to come town to get our feed ground, and Grandpa and I come to town. And then was the days that you'd stop by the post office, pick up a bunch of chickens. And we stopped and picked up a bunch of chickens at the post office, and Grandpa put them in the back of the wagon with the ground feed, you know. We're going down the road, and I looked over my shoulder, and I said, Grandpa, it's going to rain back there. And he whips up the horses and got them a-running, you know. And we went around the place and drove right into the granary. And we got out, and we was as dry as could be, and the chickens had drowned.
Chickens
are all there. Well, got a chicken.
This had nothing to do with us, but it reminded me of the chicken story about the guy he said he was going to raise baby chicks for a living, so he went to the nursery, got 1,000 baby chicks, took them home. Next week he went back and got 1,000 more, and he said, I don't know what's the matter. He said, them chickens all died. And so he went back and he got another 1,000 the second week and took them home. Same thing happened. The third week he went back and the guy says, well, what in the world are you doing with those chickens? He said, they all died on you. So I don't know. He says, I either must be watering them too much or planting them too deep.
What?
Oh, yeah,
this is true now. Yeah. We've all been true.
Oh, yeah.
To a certain degree.
Yeah.
We had my best buddy in high school was Clark Edwards. He and I were pretty good friends. And we had a horse named Dan, Bill and Dan. And, of course, we used to get a lot of mixed up mail. I mean, we used to get mail, Hazel Backer, H-A-Z-E-L, B-A-C-K-E-R, two names. And, of course, our dad's name was Dave, and every once in a while you get a letter that said, Dave Hazelbacker. Well, one day, a letter came, and it said, Dan Horsebacker. So, being the jokester that it was, I took it out the barn and showed it to Dan, our horse. And I said, how many horses do you want? And he said, a few.
Set that out, didn't
you? You bleeping that, Frank? First part was all true.
Yeah. That I remember that.
Well, back in the Model A days, you know, we had a couple of Model A's, and Dad used to visit the Lone Tree occasionally. And that was back in the time when the road out there from what is now the farmer's tables down to the other end was a dirt road. Right. And they'd say, Dave, how come you don't go across there instead of coming into town? Oh, he said, the radiator on the old Model A leaks so bad it'd have to stop and put chains on.
Probably would, yeah. We had another story from the World War II days. Like I said, Dad and I did everything by ourselves. He would, we'd go out, when it was haying time, he would go out and he'd pitch all the hay on the rack, and I would kind of shift it around a little bit, you know, and get it so it would stay on there. Then we'd go in and pull the hay rack around the east side of the barn. It was my job to stick the fork, and then I'd walk around the other end, drive the team, turn them around, come back, and I'd go back around, and I'd pull the rope that tripped it, and bring it back down and stick the fork again. One time I got a little overzealous and had one of those grappling type forks, and I got it a little bit too big, and it stuck in. It got up all right, but it stuck in the doorway. And the poor horses, they were just, an old Danny was 28 years old. And he leaned into that thing and he broke the rope. I mean, it was a three-quarter inch hemlock. He snapped that rope in two. And there's the heavy stuck there. True story. But Dad would do all the work. You know, he was up and he mounted it all the way as after I pull the rope and pull it back and stick it again and go around and pull it up another. We just had a team of horses and they were powerful.
We didn't any of us say anything about our time in service, but I had an oddity. Well, when I went in, first time I was drafted, I was put in 4F, so I went ahead then and got married. I figured they was done with me. Well, after I got married, then they decided I was good enough to go, and they put me in the Navy. And I wasn't in, I think, 6 weeks till I was down sick again, like I tried to tell them when I went the first time that I had weak lungs. And anyway, I ended up in the hospital, and my daughter was a good week old before I knew she had arrived. And the first inkling I got was I got a letter from Juanita's aunt saying, congratulations on your girl. And anyway, while I was in service, my wife wrote me a letter, and I brought the picture to show Velma, see if she knew who it was. She said, why, she said, guess where Myrna Dean's at? And I said, where? Well, she's in Washington, D.C. Well, I was in Solomons, Maryland. So I hunts up Myrna Dean Cadu. Well, that was all right. We've kind of killed off the homesickness of seeing one another because we graduated from high school together. And so later on, I get the letter from wife, guess where Myrna Dean's at? Well, she's in New Orleans. And guess what? I ended up in New Orleans. So everywhere that girl went, I went. So I had a companion, even though I was already married. But she was attached to the records of my company, and they knew at home when she moved that I was going to move. But every base I was stationed on, she was at it.
Was I in a movie?
Clifford was.
Talking about C.J. Reams.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
tell about that.
Tell what?
Tell about coming back to see you when you
were in. Oh, yeah. Well, I was in Reams as an MP, believe it or not.
Friend.
And he was cruising around and taking vacation over there. And he stopped by and saw me. Just as I was getting ready to come home, by the way. November 5th, I believe it was. Yeah. Or something like
actually,
that.
It was officers. I was guard on that truck.
Oh, I thought you
came back after the officer's liquor ration. That's what it was.
So we was hitchhiking a ride.
I was a guard. That's what the orders said.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you were
in
the car assignment.
No, that was Edwin. I made a training film.
When I was taking boot camp, why, the guys wouldn't believe me. All of a sudden, here was Clifford showing us how to run the drill team on a movie.
Yeah, didn't somebody say sit down, you
drunken sailor? I naturally jumped up and said, that's my brother, and then I don't think any of them believed me.
I still got a film strip about that long of that movie. It's too short to put through because Willard had a 16 millimeter, but this piece of film was only about that long that they let me bring home. But you can't very well show it.
Questions? Any questions?
Any questions?
Yeah, do you remember the model of the community building? Didn't you folks have that?
Right here.
Yeah.
We had a playhouse.
Playhouse. Yeah.
Right there. Okay. Picture of Carl and Clifford in front of us.
Of course, I never did see this model, but I heard that you
folks had it. Well, you know,
Dad gave it to Uncle Harry.
Uncle Harry had it in Peoria. Right.
You know, it's kind of those big athletes in Brimfield High School?
No, not that I'm aware of.
We were big.
That was as far as it got, huh?
Well, I vaguely remember. I think Willard and I both, the year I was a freshman, we both was in bed with pneumonia for, what, 2 months?
Well, not quite that long.
Quite long.
Yeah, I was a senior.
I had to live with the grandparents across the street. They didn't want me getting it. But
something.
No, they don't want you making noise.
The only thing Doc Roberts brought down to as a sign of medicine was a fifth of whiskey and give us whiskey and hot water. There wasn't any medicine that, you know, like sulfur or penicillin or those at that time.
Yeah.
Getting my first job. Oh. My dad, you know, he and Lloyd Capron started to pick up cream out in the country around here. And I'm just fresh out of high school, and Dad was going to quit. And I went into the producer's creamery, which was on State Street at that time, and applied for the job. And the man that was the manager, his name was Herb Johnson, and he just laughed in my face. He said, "What in the world would a kid like you do out there?" And I said, "I believe I could make a go of it." Well, I didn't get the job, and he sent me home brokenhearted. And Fred Church heard about it, and he called me up and went and see him. And he said that he'd like to have me run a cream route for him. And I said, "Well, Mr. Church, where's your cream routes at?" He said, "I don't have any. I expect you to make them." And I said, "I don't have a truck." Well, he says, "We can remedy that." Went up to Earl Johnson's, and $490, what I thought was a mound of money, bought a new pickup truck.
37
Chevrolet pickup truck. And I was working out here, Jackson Reeds, west of town, picking corn. And on the 4th of November, 1937, I started out. And a year from that date, that cream that the Prairie Farms had, I had. I took it away from them. I often wondered what that guy thought about whether a kid like me could make a go of it out there. And that's been 55 years ago, and we're still at it.
And Fred Church was our great uncle.
Yeah, Fred Church was a great uncle.
I got one other true story.
Huh?
Did
you ask how much you had? How much I had? Well, yeah, I came in the first day, you know, and I was used to seeing my dad's truck full of cream, see. I walked in, Fred came down the hall, and he said, "Well, what'd you do today?" I said, "Boy, I don't think I did very well. This is the first day." He said, "What'd you do?" I said, "I got 3 cans." He says, "That's 3 more than I thought you'd get." And he said, "Just go out there and keep a stiff upper lip and keep going."
You bet.
And that's what I did.
Warner should be telling this story, but at least it's a story that about the travels, or the traveling salesman came by and tried to sell you a correspondence course. Remember that?
I remember something about it, but I'll let you tell it.
He was trying to sell Warner the idea of taking a correspondence course, and he said, "Now, son," he said, and Dad was standing there listening.
Dad
to
had a $10 bill.
And he says, "Son, no matter what money you do in this world," he says, "you're going to have to start at the bottom and work your way up." And Dad says, "A hell of a way to dig a well."
I had that down here, too.
Well, Willard mentioned it to me this afternoon, and I hadn't thought about it, but Ben's is a family name, and my daughter lives near New York. Somehow or other, she spent a little money and got her name put on that, what do they call it, the wall at
Ellis Island?
Ellis Island that was built for people that migrated to this country. So the Hasselbacher name is on the thing.
What was it, 1856 they came here?
I said, I thought it was 30 something.
Well, they rhymed it "Oak Hill" in 1856 then.
Yeah.
Because that's when.
So I guess.
Go to the wall and find out.
Well, we've got a picture.
Well, I didn't hunt it up, but I thought he had it.
I guess we do qualify as true old settlers.
Old settlers. And I see by the clock on the wall, it's about 9 o'clock.
We should wrap this up.
Any other questions? That parade that you're talking about, 1936, Fate Cale and Willard Clark's dad is the only ones that I can remember besides us that was in it.
I remember
Fate Cale rode a pony right alongside the one of them all kind of different colored ponies.
Well, that was the year we stopped in front of Maine grain fields and milked the cow and gave her the milk. Yeah.
Okay, what's Evelyn Miller's sister, Sherry Miller's mother's name?
Bernice.
Bernadine. Bernadine. Yeah. She was Betty Boop now in that parade. And that was a cartoon character. Yeah. Bernadine was Betty Boop.
Yep. I don't remember that.
I remember that.